The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast here at William Hill, hosted by myself, Bobby Beavers, and delighted to say this time I am joined alongside Paddy Aspel. Paddy, as always, great to see you. And firstly, well done on winning the Flat Jockeys Hurdle Race at Lingfield this year.
Cheers, Bobby. It was good. I enjoyed it. And I mean, we've been struggling to get a winner on the flat, so I had to go back down to an old avenue and go back to my roots, and it was nice to get. But in fairness, my agent was quick onto it. He said he's quite pally with Adam West, the trainer, and he said that this horse would have a good chance, and he only went down narrowly again back on the level in a apprentice race at Wolverhampton the other night. He was beat by Sabrassi of Gavin Cromwell, so unfortunately he bumped into one, but he was only beaten by the narrowest of margins. But no, I enjoyed it, and It was nice to be back over hurdles, and even better to have a winner, so all good.
Yeah, many congratulations for winning that race, Paddy. Right then, we've just seen the 2018 renewal of the Betfair Chase. Bristol De May has got the job done for a second consecutive year. I suppose the first thing I want to say is that they've always stated connections that, you know, heavier the better for him. It wasn't supposed to be his ground this afternoon, but he was very impressive.
Yeah, he was, and he's as all greys do, he's looking very, very white nowadays. Or Bristol De May. Say he's only seven, but it's just a course record, isn't it? I mean, God, it's horses for courses, and like Andy Holding was saying straight away in the other studio after, I mean, if only they ran the Gold Cup at Cheltenham, you know, this is a proper Gold Cup horse. But Darrell Jacob got an awful big kick out of it, because, you know, in fairness, they've been having not the greatest rub of the green, all these his retainers horses of late, so they will have been happy to get a big one here. And like I said, the thing is, he's been chased home by the right one in Native River, because I flagged up beforehand that although he always turns up and runs his race, he's never actually won on his reappearance. Mm-hmm. So he was entitled to need the run. And really, he looked a little bit cold early doors. He was never really taken, Dickie. Probably wasn't until the last circuit that he actually seemed to travel that bit better. Looked for a few strides like he was going to check out up the straight and get tired, but he hasn't. He's kept going. Thistlecrack was another eye catcher, because Tom Skew, as you would expect, gave him a chance, rode him patiently, and sort of rode the race just to see if they could pick up the pieces. And I mean, turning into the straight, he was probably travelling the best out of them all, maybe apart from the winner, Bristol De May. But he just seemed to run in under the first fence in the straight a little bit, and they just nicked the length on him and got him off the bridle, sort of from travelling off the bridle in a matter of strides. But that said, he didn't back out of it, and he's finished off quite nice. I mean, you've always got to be a little bit wary when a horse runs well after, you know, a bit of a long absence, because second time is when they can really bomb out. So be interesting to see where to go next, but connections would be chuffed to bits with that. And I mean, this 10-year-old, after that enforced absence, you would say he is still relatively low mileage, but I thought on the whole his fencing was pretty good, and that was a very, very solid run. Might Bite was the big disappointment. Mm-hmm. Turning in, you could just see by the horse and by Nico's body language that he wasn't happy. He just looked very laboured. Nico sort of angled him out a little bit wider just for a clear passage, because he probably felt, it looked to me like he didn't feel like he had enough horse to, you know, start playing jockeys and riding races. He's had to go for a clear passage, and he did get that, but nonetheless, he checked out pretty tamely, and that was disappointing. I mean, he's by Scorpion, which for me, although he's had plenty of winners, sired plenty of winners, should I say, they're a bit wishy-washy. Temperament-wise, you've got to question some of his offspring. But I don't know, that nine-year-old today might bite, because for me, you know, flat track, you know, he's fresh, stiff fences, you know, ball jumper, you know, he ticked all the boxes. And so yeah, they'll have to get him home and have a look and see where they go from here. But there's no doubt the very, very disappointing effort on the day.
Just the three meetings tomorrow afternoon, on Sunday afternoon. They are racing at Navan, Exeter and Uttoxeter as well. What are your selections ahead of racing on Sunday?
For my first selection, I've gone for the listed bumper at Navan. Very, very good bumper this tomorrow. There's, you know, a host of real good National Hunt prospects in this, and plenty of previous winners. The one I did select was a filly that won when I was in studio last time and won round Navan. Did get the run of the race a little bit. There was a Willie Mullins hot pot in it that day that was very disappointing on the day. But still, this Ballydun Blaze of Gordon Elliott's, it's only a small horse, only a small filly, should I say, this four-year-old. But she really did know her job that day. Popped out in front, made all. But the one thing in between the wings of the last hurdle, even without being challenged, as soon as Laura O'Neill gave her a smack, she quickened up very well. I don't think the race amounts to a great deal, because the favourite really did check out very easy that day, and she didn't have a whole lot to beat. But just the manner of how she did it, and obviously it was over course and distance. It's a very, very deep race tomorrow that is going to, you know, it'll be one to watch back, because it's going to throw plenty of winners. But I just really liked her attitude that day, and the fact that she has operated well around C and D. Ballydun Blaze for me in the bumper at Navan tomorrow.
And your second selection, please?
I was going to go to the final race again at Uttoxeter. This time it's a little bit lower fare in the Mayor's Handicap Hurdle, and it's another horse that I seen win last time when I was in studio in Kentford Mallard for Seamus Mullins and Kevin Jones. She's been a bit of a slow burner, this mare, but you know, it's a family that Seamus Mullins knows very, very well. Previous to that Plumpton win the last day, really had shown very, very little, but Kevin Jones dropped her in, let her take her time. And although to me it looked like Plumpton on the day didn't really play to her strengths, still got the job done quite nicely. But this will be a bit more of a test tomorrow. You talk to her on softish ground, which for me, although she is up £7, I think this will be much more up her street. And now that she's managed to get her head in front, although it is a slightly deeper race tomorrow, off a mark of 103 with Kevin's claim being taken into account, I think Kentford Mallard hasn't finished winning yet and could go back to back for his boss tomorrow, Seamus Mullins.
Great stuff, Paddy. Thank you very much for your time, as always, here on the William Hill Racing Podcast. So do tune in to Racing Radio on Sunday afternoon. Alex Dunn will be joined by John Budden and James Millman.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.